comprehensive wealth plan. Learn more at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Nuvant House of Lawrence, offering care services to assist living, including day-stay, short-term, and long-term options. Information at NuvantHouse.com.
It's 41 degrees in Lawrence, 45 in Manhattan. It's 47 in Abilene. The time is 6:06.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 91.3 FM in Junction City. We're always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for joining us today. Coming up in our next 30 minutes, an update of news headlines. We will get that at 6:30. Just about 6:44, we will hear from some people dealing with the expiration of ACA subsidies down in Texas. It's particularly harsh down in Texas. We will explain why. We'll also get you an update on the TikTok deal at about 10 minutes before 7. Stay tuned here on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, working to address major challenges in disease prevention and treatment, sustainable energy solutions, and more. Information about KU research is at ku.edu.
Partly cloudy skies in the forecast for northeast and east central Kansas tonight. We are expecting a low in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high around 50, down to the upper 20s tomorrow night. Highs in the upper 40s for Sunday, upper 50s for Monday, lower 60s for Tuesday, upper 60s for Wednesday. We could set records for warmth in this region on Christmas Day, but we will certainly let you know as we draw closer to that day. But it doesn't look like it's going to be particularly frosty on Christmas.
Support for KPR comes from LMH Health's new cancer center, offering cancer clinical trials and comprehensive treatment options, all under one roof. More information is available at lmh.org/cancercare.
It's 41 degrees in Lawrence. It is 37 in Atchison. It's 45 in Manhattan. The time is 6:20.
Stephen Thompson explains how our music tastes change with the seasons on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock on your KPR stations for Weekend All Things Considered.
Support for KPR comes from Porter Cattle Company, raising cattle near Emporia. Richard Porter believes the financial commitment of listeners makes it possible for KPR to provide in-depth news and music daily, and is proud to support the goals and mission of Kansas Public Radio.
News headlines coming up next. It's 41 degrees in Lawrence, 41 in Topeka. It's 6:30.
Ambassador to the United Nations, Stefanik then announced she would challenge New York Governor Kathy Hochul in next year's election, but polls showed her trailing badly, and she also faced a tough primary challenge. Now Stefanik says she's dropping her bid for governor and won't run again for her upstate New York House seat. In a statement, Stefanik says she'll focus instead on parenting her young son.
Brian Mann reporting. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Marla Lukert is stepping down as Chief Justice of the Kansas Supreme Court. She's been on medical leave since October. A native of Goodland, Lukert was the first woman in Kansas to be named Chief Judge for a district court. She was the second woman appointed to the Kansas Supreme Court, though Graves selected her in 2002. Lukert says she took those responsibilities very seriously.
I wanted small-town Kansas children, including girls, to see themselves reflected in positions of leadership and to know their voices, their intelligence, and their perseverance matter.
Acting Chief Justice Eric Rosen will assume the role full-time on January 2nd. Lukert says she will continue as a justice until the end of January before retiring from the bench. Governor Laura Kelly will be choosing her successor. Authorities are investigating after several Kansas schools received threats today. KMBC-TV reports that multiple Catholic schools in Johnson County received threats. Similar threats were also made against schools located in Topeka, Ottawa, and Bucyrus. It appears that mostly parochial schools were targeted. Thus far, authorities say all of the threats were unfounded. The cities of Hays and Russell are once again in court, defending plans to pipe in water from land owned in another county. The Water Protection Association of Central Kansas, also known as WaterPAC, was formed by a group of farmers to block a plan to pipe water from Edwards County to Hays and Russell. Charles Lee represented the association before the Kansas Supreme Court this week. He says the water transfer plan would create a dangerous precedent and could lead to lower groundwater levels.
It threatens the long-term viability of the aquifer and the property rights of WaterPAC members.
The cities argue that the irrigators are already causing more water loss, with 95% of water use in the region being for agricultural purposes. The justices will decide whether the association can prevent the already approved plans. Partly cloudy skies overnight with a low in the mid-30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high around 50. Down to the upper 20s tomorrow night. Highs in the upper 40s are forecast for Sunday, and we'll get into the upper 50s on Monday. It's 6:35.
Listen well with us, weekday mornings.
Join us Monday through Friday, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations for Morning Edition, a great way to get caught up on all the national, international, and regional news from overnight and over the weekend. Again, it's Morning Edition, 5 to 9 a.m.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight's on O'Connell Children's Shelter, offering prevention services, including truancy prevention programming and case management to help families remain safely together. Details at O'ConnellChildrensShelter.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio at 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 89.7 FM in Emporia, lots of other frequencies as well. They are all listed for you at our website. We're always streaming, kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Topeka Zoo, offering holiday gift ideas. The gift of membership lasts a year, and the gift of Tiger Tail's legacy bricks lasts a lifetime. Information and shopping at topekazoo.org.
We have about 10 minutes of All Things Considered left to come. If you're joining us on KPR One Stations tonight, stick around at 7 o'clock for news headlines, followed by Stardate, then Film Music Friday with our annual Christmas movie music extravaganza. If you are joining us on KPR Two at 7 o'clock, we have Snap Judgment. Lows in the mid-30s tonight, highs around 50 tomorrow. It's 40 degrees in Topeka, and it's 10 minutes before 7.
.org. From Progressive Insurance, Progressive is looking for individuals in a variety of career fields who want to help build a culture of inclusiveness. More information, including application, at progressive.com/careers. And from the sustaining members of this NPR station.
The holidays can throw our usual routines up in the air, but here's one ritual you can keep to stay centered and informed. Listen weekdays to Morning Edition from NPR News.
You can hear Morning Edition 5 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday on your KPR stations. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Times, an online news publication with an emphasis on stories that affect residents of Lawrence, Douglas County, and Kansas. Information at lawrencekstimes.com.
Hope you'll stay tuned. Up next, news headlines, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of film music. It's Film Music Friday. It's that time of year. We're doing our Christmas film movie music extravaganza, including what we're hearing in the background, some of the incidental music for It's a Wonderful Life, also selections from Miracle on 34th Street, and many, many more. Stay tuned for Film Music Friday with Daryl Brogdon.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Lows in the mid-30s tonight, highs around 50 tomorrow, lows in the upper 20s tomorrow night, highs in the upper 40s for Sunday. It's 7:01, and the news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth says the U.S. has launched a series of deadly strikes against Islamic State targets in central Syria. As NPR's Greg Myrie reports, this comes after three Americans were killed by a gunman there.
The U.S. attack involved fighter jets, helicopters, and artillery rounds directed against buildings and weapons belonging to the Islamic State. In a post on X, Pentagon Chief Pete Hegseth said, quote, "Today we hunted and we killed our enemies, lots of them, and we will continue." President Trump vowed to hit back after a gunman killed two members of the Iowa National Guard and a U.S. civilian interpreter on December 13th. That attacker was a member of the Syrian security forces who was about to be dismissed because of his extremist views linked to the Islamic State. U.S. forces defeated ISIS years ago, but have remained in Syria to prevent a resurgence of the group. Greg Myrie, NPR News, Washington.
The Justice Department has started releasing files related to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, but it's incomplete. California Democratic Congressman Ro Khanna is one of the sponsors of the bill that compelled the disclosure. He told NPR's All Things Considered he's disappointed with it.
So far, based on what we've seen, there are just excessive redactions. I mean, there's one document from the New York grand jury, which a federal judge ordered released, totally redacted, 119 pages, all redacted. And there are not the types of documents so far that we were looking for. Now, we haven't done the whole review.
The DOJ says several hundreds of thousands of pages would be released today, with more to follow. A federal court has temporarily blocked the Trump administration's controversial overhaul of homelessness funding. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports the judge also accused the federal housing agency, HUD, of intentionally causing chaos.
In an oral ruling from the bench, Judge Mary McElroy in Rhode Island says it's likely HUD's overhaul is unlawful and agreed with critics that it could push many people back into homelessness in the middle of winter, causing irreparable harm. HUD has sought major cuts to permanent housing and instead wants to beef up transitional housing that requires people to work and get treatment. But the overhaul was announced so late in the year, many places are set to run out of money before new funds flow. If HUD really wants to change policies so dramatically, the judge said, it needs to do the work and go through Congress. Instead, she said, the chaos seems to be the point. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington.
President Trump is giving federal workers Christmas Eve and the day after Christmas off, in addition to Christmas Day. Presidents have often given federal workers Christmas Eve off, but it's a little unusual to get both the 24th and 26th off. More than 300,000 federal workers have been laid off this year. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Pew Charitable Trusts, sharing about the state of housing in America on the After the Fact podcast, available at pewtrusts.org/afterthefact. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find NPR News, Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate December 19th. The She-Goat is a lot more than it seems. What looks like a single brilliant star is actually two sparklers. Both of them are much bigger, heavier, and brighter than the Sun. Capella is the brightest star of Auriga, the charioteer. Its name comes from a Latin phrase that means the she-goat. It's 43 light-years away, just down the block by astronomical standards. Both stars of Capella are about 2.5 times as massive as the Sun. And both are more than 70 times brighter than the Sun. But the stars are quite close together, less than the distance from Earth to the Sun. So we can't see them as individual points of light, even with the biggest telescopes. Astronomers discovered Capella's dual nature with a technique called spectroscopy. It breaks a star's light into its individual wavelengths. The spectrum of Capella shows two patterns of light. The patterns move back and forth as the stars orbit each other. The patterns reveal details about both stars, their surface temperature, composition, and more. From that and other details, we know that both stars have moved beyond the prime phase of life. Now, they're in the giant phase. Both stars have puffed up to about 10 times the diameter of the Sun. Two big, brilliant stars for the She-Goat. Capella is a third of the way up the northeastern sky at nightfall. It's one of the brightest stars in the entire night sky, so you can't miss it. We have more skywatching tips and much more about our amazing universe in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
That's music by Patrick Gowers, Mr. Henry Baker's Christmas, from The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. I'm Daryl Brogdon, and welcome to the show where we celebrate the music of movies. And tonight, well, 'tis the season, isn't it? We'll be hearing music from movies about Christmas, including The Bishop's Wife, A Christmas Carol, It's a Wonderful Life, and lots more, so I hope you'll join us. Next, well, I confess this is my all-time favorite Christmas movie, Miracle on 34th Street. It's about the department store Santa who believes himself to be the real deal. This film won 4 Academy Awards, including one for Edmund Gwenn as Best Supporting Actor in his role as Kris Kringle, and one for the story and screenplay by Valentine Davies and George Seton, who also directed. The music is by Cyril Mockridge, an English composer who spent many years in Hollywood as a staff composer at 20th Century Fox. Here's music for Miracle on 34th Street, played by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by David Newman, on KPR's Film Music Friday. Thank you.
Thank you.
composed by Cyril Mockridge. That's music from Miracle on 34th Street, 1947, here on Kansas Public Radio's Film Music Friday. This film is, of course, a perennial at Christmas time and winner of 4 Academy Awards, including an Oscar for Edmund Gwenn as Kris Kringle. Cyril Mockridge was associated for many years with 20th Century Fox, where he wrote the music for 3 classic films, John Ford's My Darling Clementine, Nightmare Alley, directed by Edmund Goulding, and this one. 3 very different films, 3 diverse scores by a very versatile composer. This is Film Music Friday. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Happy holidays. Tonight, we celebrate the season with music from Christmas movies. Later this hour, Stephen Warbeck's score for A Christmas Carol, starring Patrick Stewart as, well, who else? Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from Kaiser Cummings Jewelers, more than 35 years of custom-designed, handcrafted jewelry in downtown Lawrence. Collection online at kaisercummings.com. Next, it's a film that came out the same year as Miracle on 34th Street, but at first, anyway, was not as popular. Audiences stayed away from The Bishop's Wife because, according to the studio, because they thought it was a religious film. Over the years, however, it's become another popular film to see at this time of the year. Cary Grant plays an angel named Dudley, sent from above to offer guidance to a troubled bishop, played by David Niven. The music's by Hugo Friedhofer, who spent years as an orchestrator working at Warner's for Max Steiner and Eric Wolfgang Korngold. He composed his first full movie score in 1937 and was nominated for an Oscar for his work on The Bishop's Wife. The music is appropriately Yuletide-ish, with a hint of magic and an ethereal quality. From the original soundtrack, here is The Bishop's Wife on KPR. Hugo Friedhofer's music for The Bishop's Wife, 1947, here on Kansas Public Radio's Film Music Friday. Despite a powerhouse cast of Cary Grant, David Niven, and Loretta Young, the movie wasn't a huge hit when it was released, but over time it's become a Christmas time favorite. Certainly a contributing factor is Hugo Friedhofer's wonderful score. Still to come on Film Music Friday, we'll hear from A Christmas Story, the film based on stories by Gene Shepherd. Well, tomorrow is the last weekend before Christmas, and you can bet that there'll be a holiday flavor on Classics by Request. It's tomorrow afternoon from 1 to 4. Find out what music our listeners have been clamoring to hear. Destiny is your host. Classics by Request is tomorrow afternoon, 1 to 4, right here on KPR. From the University of Kansas, your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 89.7 Emporia, online at kansaspublicradio.org. That's by Stephen Warbeck. Themes from A Christmas Carol, a made-for-TV adaptation in 1999. You're on Kansas Public Radio's Film Music Friday. Patrick Stewart played Scrooge in this version, which has much to recommend it. Stephen Warbeck is an English composer who won an Oscar for his work on Shakespeare in Love. Thank you kindly for joining us here on Film Music Friday, our weekly celebration of movie music. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Season's greetings from all of us here at KPR. Tonight, we're hearing tunes from Christmas movies, and there is lots more still to come, including a news update from NPR. That's at 8:01. One of the most popular of the Christmas perennials has got to be A Christmas Story, which was made in 1983, directed by Bob Clark and based on stories by writer Gene Shepherd. Actually, a lot of these stories began as monologues on Shepherd's radio show. You probably know the story, right? Young Ralphie dreams and schemes to get a Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model air rifle. His mom thinks he'll shoot his eye out, but Ralphie will not be dissuaded. The music by Carl Zittrer and Paul Zaza weaves in familiar Christmas songs and even a bit of Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf. Here's music for A Christmas Story on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you. There's music by Paul Zaza and Carl Zitterer for A Christmas Story, 1983, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. KPR's KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. There's more to come after the news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The Trump administration expanded a drug pricing deal to include 9 additional pharmaceutical makers. Those companies agreed to sell new and existing drugs to the U.S. government at the same price as other developed countries. NPR's Yuki Noguchi reports.
The White House has been pressuring drug makers to equalize U.S. pricing with other countries. The administration says these agreements will lower Medicaid drug prices. Consumers who pay out of pocket will also be able to get lower prices for some of the company's most popular drugs through a government website called TrumpRx. Under the agreements, Amgen, Merck, GSK, and others will also invest $150 billion in U.S. manufacturing operations. In exchange, the companies will be exempt from some of the administration's stiff tariffs for 3 years. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News.
Conservative leader Charlie Kirk's widow is announcing her support for Vice President J.D. Vance for president in 2028. Erica Kirk, who now leads the influential conservative group her husband founded, made the announcement during the kickoff for Turning Points Conference in Phoenix yesterday. NPR's Sarah McCammon reports.
Vice President J.D. Vance has not declared his intention to run for president in 2028, though he is widely expected to seek the Republican nomination. At Turning Points America Fest Conference in Phoenix, Erica Kirk pledged her support for Vance.
We are going to get my husband's friend, J.D. Vance, elected for 48 in the most resounding way possible.
After Charlie Kirk's murder on September 10th in Utah, Erica Kirk took over leadership of Turning Point USA, which her husband founded. Sarah McCammon, NPR News.
A federal environmental review concludes the Dakota Access oil pipeline can continue operating. NPR's Jeff Brady reports the Standing Rock Sioux tribe had challenged the government's decision to permit the pipeline under a section of the Missouri River.
Building the Dakota Access pipeline attracted thousands of protesters in 2016 to the construction site south of Bismarck, North Dakota. The Standing Rock Sioux tribe opposed the Missouri River section near its reservation. Leaders said an oil spill would pollute drinking water. The pipeline has operated since 2017. In 2021, a federal appeals court told the Army Corps of Engineers to conduct a more thorough environmental impact statement about the project. Now the agency says it's done that and still decided the pipeline section should be approved. After a 30-day waiting period, the Corps is expected to issue a final decision. Jeff Brady, NPR News.
Earlier this week, President Trump promised $1,776 checks to troops, calling it a warrior dividend funded by tariff revenues. But the bonus is actually a housing stipend already approved by Congress in last summer's tax and spending bill. Almost 1.3 million military members and 174,000 reservists will receive the supplement. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Doris Duke Foundation, which aims to support the well-being of people and the planet for a more creative, equitable, and sustainable future. From the University of Kansas, it's the place to find NPR News and Film Music Friday, Kansas Public Radio. The time is 8:04.
Thank you.
The Christmas Eve Montage by Danny Elfman, music from The Nightmare Before Christmas, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. Is this a Christmas movie or a Halloween movie? Probably it's both. This is actually a musical directed by Tim Burton about Jack Skellington, the king of Halloween Town, who accidentally falls through a magic portal to Christmas Town and then becomes obsessed with celebrating the holiday. Welcome to Film Music Friday on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Darryl Brogdon. Tonight, we celebrate the season with music from movies at Christmas time. Later, a song from The Snowman by Howard Blake, plus music from The Polar Express, composed by Alan Silvestri. You know, if we held a contest to name the greatest Christmas movie ever, you got to think that It's a Wonderful Life would be at or near the top of that list. Frank Capra's 1946 fantasy, however, was never intended as a Christmas movie. In fact, it went into general release in January 1947. Dmitri Tiomkin fashioned a very complex and layered score for It's a Wonderful Life, but unfortunately, much of the music he wrote for the film was cut before its release. It's thought that Capra or somebody decided the film was too dark and attempted to lighten the mood somewhat by eliminating some of Tiomkin's somber score. It led to something of a falling out between Frank Capra and Dmitri Tiomkin, and the two never worked together again. In 1988, Tiomkin's original score was restored and recorded by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, led by David Newman. So here is the music for It's a Wonderful Life, composed by Dmitri Tiomkin on KPR. Dmitri Tiomkin's music for It's a Wonderful Life, 1946, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. This is another case of a film that bombed when it was first released, but after repeated showings on TV at Christmas time, it's become something of a cult classic. Dmitri Tiomkin, however, didn't have particularly fond memories of working on this film, because much of his complex score was cut, rearranged, or remixed throughout the film. Tiomkin once referred to it as pretty much a scissors job. It's Film Music Friday. I'm Darryl Brogdon. Thank you for being here tonight as we celebrate the season with music from movies set at Christmas time. Up ahead, Alan Silvestri's score for The Polar Express. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on O'Connell Children's Shelter, serving Douglas County in northeast Kansas, offering residential and prevention services to at-risk children and families, as well as foster home support. Information at O'ConnellChildrenShelter.com. And Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise. From the University of Kansas, the place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News is Kansas Public Radio.
People far below are sleeping as we fly. I'm holding very tight. I'm riding in the midnight blue. I'm finding I can fly so high above with you. Swimming.
That's Walking on the Air, a song from The Snowman, a 1982 film based on the book by Raymond Briggs, featuring music by Howard Blake. It's about a boy who builds a snowman that comes to life and then takes him on a trip to meet Father Christmas at the North Pole. It was composer Howard Blake's idea that the film should not include dialogue, but instead should unfold through music. It was so popular it's inspired a stage version and even a video game. 'Tis the Season on KPR's Film Music Friday, as tonight we're hearing music from movies set at Christmas time. We'll hear just a bit from Home Alone, with music by John Williams coming up, and news from NPR at 9:01. Another popular children's book inspired The Polar Express, directed in 2004 by Robert Zemeckis, and featuring a score by Alan Silvestri. On Christmas Eve, a young boy sees a mysterious train bound for the North Pole stop outside his window and is invited aboard by its conductor. It's interesting that most of Alan Silvestri's original score did not appear on the soundtrack CD and has never been officially released. It did, however, spawn a concert suite for orchestra. So here's the Brussels Philharmonic, conducted by Dirk Brosset, and Alan Silvestri's suite from The Polar Express on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
Music for the Polar Express by Alan Silvestri, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. That's the concert suite featuring themes from the film performed here by the Brussels Philharmonic, conducted by Dirk Brosset. You're listening to Film Music Friday. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Thank you for being here tonight, and here's hoping a joyous holiday season for you and yours from all of us here at Kansas Public Radio. Because you care. Donate to KPR today for unbiased, in-depth news, for inspiration and laughs, for thoughtful conversations, and for a more informed life. You're an essential part of the equation. Your contribution equals unparalleled local coverage, captivating storytelling, and a window to the world. Donate at support.kansaspublicradio.org. Raise your hand, stand up, count yourself in, and make a difference today. From the University of Kansas, your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, online at kansaspublicradio.org.
On last week's Wait, Wait, panelist Adam Burke was skeptical of Netflix's attempt to buy Warner Brothers.
Netflix are $18 billion in debt, and they're spending $83 billion. Who do they think they are, me?
I'm Peter Sagal. We'll be in your debt if you tune in to hear this week's show with special guest actor Ray Seahorn. Actually, maybe you will owe us. Well, join us for the news quiz, and we will call it even. That's Wait, Wait from NPR.
Tomorrow morning at 10 on KPR. From the University of Kansas, Kansas Public Radio's KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, KANQ Chanute. Support for news on KPR comes from Kansas City Zoo and Aquarium, offering Friends of the Zoo memberships, providing admission to the zoo for an entire year. Membership supports the zoo's conservation fund, preserving wildlife around the world. More at kansascityzoo.org. And Blue Collar Press. Blue Collar Press has been helping businesses, musicians, and artists, big and small, turn ideas into promotional merchandise for 20 years. For more information, bluecollarpress.com. The news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says the current state of Venezuela's regime is intolerable. He accuses Nicolas Maduro's government of working with drug cartels and terrorists, as NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
At an end-of-year news conference, Secretary Rubio was asked repeatedly about the U.S. military buildup near Venezuela. He says President Trump promised to take on the cartels and is doing that. Rubio would not describe a recent call between Trump and Maduro, but said that the Venezuelans broke deals with the Biden administration.
You can't do a peace deal with these people any more than you can do a peace deal with a mafia.
Rubio defended the strikes on alleged drug boats, saying they've been effective. The Trump administration is also imposing sanctions on 7 family members of individuals tied to what it calls the illegitimate Maduro regime. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
8 Republican attorneys general have issued a rebuke of President Trump's executive order to reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous drug. From member station WFIU, Ethan Sandweiss reports.
As a Schedule 3 drug, marijuana would still be a controlled substance, but with recognized medical use. Attorneys General of Nebraska, Indiana, Iowa, Idaho, Kansas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, and Wyoming wrote in a statement that the science surrounding marijuana shows it cannot be used safely. Ken Mackey is a professor of neuroscience at Indiana University. He says marijuana is an effective treatment for chronic pain, and its potential for abuse is lower than other drugs such as tobacco.
It's not saying that it's harmless. It's putting a more realistic measure of the risk.
Trump's order does not immediately reschedule marijuana, but directs the U.S. Attorney General to expedite that process. For NPR News, I'm Ethan Sandweiss.
Existing home sales rose slightly last month from October as fewer homes hit the market. NPR's Scott Newman has more.
In its monthly report on existing home sales, the National Association of Realtors said in November home sales increased 0.5% for a seasonally adjusted rate of 4.13 million homes. Sales increased in the Northeast and South, but showed no change in the West and actually fell a bit in the Midwest. NAR Chief Economist Lawrence Yoon said the increase in sales could be explained by lower mortgage rates, while a decrease in the number of unsold units was likely due to homeowners holding off listing their homes for sale during the winter. The NAR says the median home price in the U.S. is at just under $410,000. Scott Newman, NPR News, Washington.
A lack of snow is causing problems for ski resorts in the western U.S. States from Oregon to Colorado are recording temperatures far above normal. As a result, mountainous areas that would normally get snow have been getting rain instead. This is NPR News from Washington. State lawmakers across the U.S. are debating whether to adopt new federal tax breaks for tips and overtime. The Trump administration is urging them to. States embracing the cuts could give savings to taxpayers, but their budgets may be strained. In some states, the tax breaks automatically apply unless legislatures opt out. Heart attacks rose in Los Angeles after the wildfires last January, according to a new study. NPR's Alejandra Barunda reports.
Over the 3 months following the fires, the emergency room at Cedars-Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles saw lots of patients from the city's most affected areas. Now, researchers like cardiologist Joseph Ebinger have dug into that data to understand the fire's impact on Angelino's health. They didn't see any change in the total number of visits, but they saw big shifts in the health problems people showed up with. Some were expected, like a jump in lung issues. Others were more surprising, like a
46% increase in the rate of people presenting for heart attacks during that time period.
They also saw huge increases in abnormal blood tests. Ebinger says that could be a sign of overall stress on people's bodies from the particularly toxic smoke and ash produced by the fires, which burn through toxic materials like home insulation, cars, and batteries. Alejandra Borunda, NPR News.
Tourists visiting the Trevi Fountain in Rome will have to pay more than just the legendary coin toss over the shoulder. The city is imposing a 2 euro fee for tourists to get close to the fountain made famous by Fellini's La Dolce Vita. The view for those admiring the late Baroque masterpiece from the piazza remains free. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Fidelity Investments. A dedicated advisor can help build a flexible wealth plan. Learn more at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC.
the New York Latin Jazz All-Stars putting their stamp on. Winter Wonderland opened tonight's Jazz in the Night on KPR 1999 album called Feliz Navidad. Featured there were flute player Dave Valentin, trumpeter Piero Rodriguez, and trombonist Pampo Vazquez. Good evening, I'm Bob McWilliams here with you on Jazz in the Night, and we've reached the time that it's only a week, less than a week until Christmas, so we're going to have a wide variety of holiday jazz for you on Jazz in the Night with Wynton Marsalis. Up next, we've got guitarist Dave Stryker on the way, singer Kat Edmondson from her album Holiday Swingin', and a whole lot more. Right now, Wynton Marsalis' Christmas Jazz Jam, this album from 2009, and rather interesting arrangement, maybe many arrangements, as it seems like it goes through a whole lot of ways to sell the story. It's Go Tell It on the Mountain, Wynton Marsalis and friends here on KPR. Oh, Marsalis' Christmas Jazz Jam album from 2009, and Go Tell Her on the Mountain here on KPR, out of New Orleans, in that, including that tuba of Wyclef Gordon, the trumpeter all the way through, a lot of time for Wynton Marsalis, and the banjo by Don Vappy, the rhythm section of Reginald Veal bass, Hurlin Riley drums, pianist Dan Nimmer, and it's hard for me to tell which was which on playing the saxophones in the various solos, but it was Victor Gaines, Wessel Anderson, Walter Blanding, Paul, Ned Zila. Wynton Marsalis' Christmas Jazz Jam. We'll hear Wynton leading the Jazz and Lincoln Center Orchestra in just a little bit here on KPR's Jazz in the Night with guitarist Dave Stryker up next. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from the Compton Historical Society's Christmas Through the Ages. Over 200 Christmas trees with vintage and antique ornaments at the Territorial Capital Museum. Now until January 4th, details at LeCompton, Kansas.com.